Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. If you have specific topic or text in the Bible that you want to understand, what you need to do is send us an email. Go on the website, send us an email. And we are going to prepare a teaching plan and teach it right on this platform. This is our calling. Let us pray. Okay, Rob, are you there?
Yes.
Will you please lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. Abba, Father, Lord, your name is worthy of praise. You are magnificent, Father. We just give you thanks for this time to come together and to study your word. You are our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There are no others, Father. Thank you so much for this time to hear your word, to learn your truth, Father, and to learn more about you. We just give you thanks and praise your name. Bless us, study, and guide us tonight as we continue to learn more about the patriarchs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Man. Okay, thank you. And if you want to become our patron, you can just go on our website. You will see a blue button right there. Say become a patron on Podbean. You can just go there and do whatever you want to do. And please, when you go on YouTube, if you watch any video on YouTube, hey, give us thumb up or thumb down, whatever your decision is. Just tell us what you like about our video or what you dislike. Leave us a comment. Tonight, we're going to continue our study with Jacob. Last week, we completed Isaac. Now we come to Jacob. This is an interesting study. So it's going to be great. Jacob, as you know, is one of the sons of Isaac. Now, if you have not viewed or listened to part one and part two of Isaac, the study we did on Isaac is right out there. It's on YouTube. It's on my website. Please go and listen to part one and two. It will connect you to the study of Jacob. See, that's very, very important. So please do. What we get to find in the study of Jacob, the family crisis. The family crisis within the house of Isaac continuing to rage between Jacob and Esau. Esau had planned to kill Jacob when their father died. On the other hand, the parents were divided. Rebekah loved Jacob, and Isaac loved Esau, his firstborn. So there's the problem. Their two children, their major issue with the birthright episode. Don't forget about that. Go back to part one and two of Isaac, the study on Isaac, and listen to it carefully. So the whole situation with the family crisis continuing in the life of the children. Now, here are some specific things that we're going to learn from this study. Here are the things you will learn. At the end of part one of this study, the participant will be able to understand, know, and believe the significance of Leah and Rachel, the cultural demand regarding marriage, which Jacob was victimized. That was a problem. Jacob didn't know the culture. He went to get a wife in the culture, and he encountered a problem. We're going to study this in this part of our study tonight. So stay tuned. The influence of Isaac But Rebekah, in sending Jacob to her family, merely away from the wrath of Esau, but proposed to Isaac that she never wanted her son to get a wife from among the Canaanites' women. Now, Rebekah has something different in her mind because of the hatred between the two children. She wanted her son to get off from the wrath of Esau. But how to present it? Well, she presented it in a nice way, and Isaac agreed with her. Now we're going to see the similarity and difference between Isaac and Jacob's wedding. That we're going to look at the two things. What are the differences? That Jacob had one wedding, which resulted in two wives and later four wives. Now this is a very interesting study. The man had one wedding, but this one wedding resulted in two wives, and then later on, four wives. Great study. All right, let's begin the study with the background. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the background or motivation at Jacob's departure to Haran. What really wrong? What was really the motivating factor for which Jacob had to go? So the first thing we're going to start from is what? The background of Jacob's wedding. What really went wrong? As we have said in our introduction, there was a major crisis in the family. Esau hated Jacob and planned to kill him. See, I'm going to kill my brother, but I would not want to do it when my father is alive. But when he dies, I am surely going to get rid of him because he stole my birthright. When you read Genesis 27:41, that was the plan, and the lifestyle, there was no love within the family between the two boys, and that was just something very ugly. So the mother observed all these. Then she counseled, the counsel of Rebekah, she came up with a suggestion to avoid bloodshed in her family. She counseled that Jacob go away for a few days to her brother's house, brother Laban's home in Haran. And for what reason? Now, the purpose of Rebekah's counsel was twofold: that Jacob might escape the wrath of Esau, and two, that Jacob might secure a wife from Rebekah's family. Now, she cleverly presented this to Isaac. Isaac himself married when Abraham was alive. Father Abraham made an arrangement in their household where Rebekah came from. So Isaac got his wife from home. Now Rebekah is saying here, I want my son to get a wife from our home. So Isaac agreed to that. But one of the key reasons was to get away from the wrath of Esau. That was not in the forefront, but she had it in her mind. All right. Rob, I think you said you have a note here. Are you there?
Yes.
Are you there?
So in Genesis, yes. So in Genesis 27:46, we see something interesting. It reads, and Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? So there's a couple interesting points that I'd like to point out. The first is the word weary.
Uh-huh.
It's the Hebrew word tet, which means to loathe, abhor, to feel a sickening dread.
Right.
It's a pretty strong word. And it's apparent that Rebekah did not like the daughters of Heth. She mentions this name twice and then calls them the daughters of the land. So the term here that is used for land is the Hebrew term eretz, which means earth, world, nations, common. And it's reference to the land, even people. And, uh-huh. and in this sense, she means worldly and not godly.
Mm-hmm.
So now the daughter, the daughters of Heth. Who is Heth?
Mm-hmm.
He was the son of Canaan. We see this in Genesis 10:15.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one who, from him, became descended the Hittites.
Okay.
Who were very much a problem for the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
And his name means terror. So here we have Rebecca mentioning his name twice. And she, in not a good context. So she in a sense plants a seed, and kind of reminds Isaac of how they met.
Right.
Now, in the next chapter in Genesis 28:1-2, Isaac, it says, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife mm-hmm. of the daughters of Canaan.
Right.
Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, my mother's father, and take thee a wife from hence of the daughters of Laban, my brother's mother's brother. So here he tells him, okay, get out of this land, away from the Canaanites, from the daughters of Heth,
uh-huh.
and go back home and seek your wife from there. Now the word here, charged, it's a command.
Uh-huh.
And then we see again, thou shalt not take a wife. You command them to leave and to go away. So Isaac did not just suggest that Jacob go elsewhere for a wife, but commanded him to do this and to seek a wife from his own kin, just as his father Abraham did for him.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's a couple things to think about,
right?
Or some food for thought, if you will. One. Why did Isaac not send for a wife like Abraham did for him?
Okay.
So now we see a deviation from what's happened before.
Right.
And from sort of the cultural tradition of the arranged marriage.
Right.
And was Rebecca's intervening, was it cultural or was it selfish? Remember, in the culture of the day, the first son was the heir to everything.
That's right.
So, 2 points to think about as we continue this study.
Good. Thank you. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's great. You made a great point. This is a great study. Jacob is a great study. And so, all right. Now, Isaac implements the plan of his wife. Isaac called Jacob and charged him, said, look, I don't want you to take a wife here. I'm the same thing that happened in the life of Abraham. Abraham said to Eliezer, I don't want you to take a wife for my son, Isaac in this land. I'm the same thing that's been replayed here, but this time, it was a quite different, like what Rob has said. It was that the wife was the one that was influencing the husband and said, this cannot be done. And so the husband agreeing to the counsel of the wife called the son and said, this you cannot do in this land. You cannot take any of the women here. And Rob, thank you for the background of health. I mean, health, like you talk about. That was just wonderful. Okay, now.
Certainly.
It was really wonderful because when you look at Arab, when you look at the Eliezer going home, and this one, it might be the same home, but on a different, what do you think?
Say that again.
Isaac, Eliezer going home to get a wife for Isaac, and Jacob going home, might be similar, but there seems to be a major difference there.
Yeah, it brings a whole bunch of questions to mind.
Right.
You know, how much of this cultural? How much is it because of the contention between the two brothers? Isaac loving Esau, Rebekah loving Jacob, Jacob stealing the blessings as well as the birthright. There's so many things that are happening here. Did he not have a servant to send?
That's another question.
Yeah, I don't know. It warrants some further investigation.
Right. That's really another question, because his father was so wealthy with servants and so on. And here in the life of Jacob, I mean of Isaac, anyway, okay, let's go ahead. Thank you. That's good. Food for thought. Think about it. Keep your questions. You can ask a little on. Okay. Isaac blessed Jacob again, and he left and went. Now, Isaac is reconciled to God and declared that Jacob possessed the birthright and its blessings. Now, when Isaac prayed, Isaac again blessed Jacob with the blessing of being the heir of God's promise. And this is what Esau don't want to see, because he is the firstborn. And being the firstborn, he's supposed to be the one. Almost the same thing like, you know, we've been studying. However, Isaac dismisses Jacob to go to Haran. You need to get out of here. So we find here that the parent did not know that he would be away for many years. Now, there's something when I look at the whole study, the idea of the parents, they thought the way Isaac wedding was held, they thought it would have gone the same way very fast, all right? Or getting away from Esau for just few weeks and coming back with his wife, but not knowing he was leaving for 20 years. Can you imagine that? Not that he was leaving for how long? 20 years. Here. All right. Salary, but now, when he left and went, and they thought that they would have been for just of maybe 1 or 2 years or few days or so forth, he remained there, and silent Rebecca died during Jacob's absence. He was not there when his mom died. And the sad thing too, that whether he heard about his mother's death or not, I don't know, but I believe he heard it. I think he heard it. You don't think so, Rob?
It could be. I'm still
we don't know.
Yeah, I'm still investigating.
Right, we don't know about when the death of the mother, you know.
Yeah.
There was a way to send message, or maybe you send somebody to go and tell the son. But the thing that we're not too sure of is that there's no record that the son came back for the funeral of the mother. It's not, we don't have no record about that. So then we cannot conclude that he heard it or not. But there's an issue here that we need to,
right,
you know, think about, because he was not there when his mother died, and we have no record whether he came for the funeral. But all that we know that he was in a place where he went to take a wife. Okay. Jacob flees to Haran. He went. And that place, you know, Haran, do not forget, when Terah left with his family from Char, I mean from Ur of the Chaldeans, they intended going where? They intended going to what? Canaan. But when they got to Haran, they stopped there and made it their home. So it's the same place that we're talking about. That's where Jacob went. We believe that while Jacob was on his way, I think there were a lot of things that were running through his mind. I mean, I was not there. I'm not Jacob. But here in the family, there was crisis. He and his brother was just at loggerhead. The parents also had problems. You know, Jacob was loved by mommy, and Esau by the father. Yet the two children could not agree. I think that also involved the entire family. So that was a key thing. But while he was going, you know, I think some of these things that I'm about to talk about ran through his mind. Leaving home, don't know how long he's going to be away and when he's going to come back. He was thinking about the past and contemplating on what's going to happen to me. I'm leaving. You know, now I'm going to my family. Would I get a wife there? Is it true that I would get a wife like my father? Those are the things I think he thought on those things while he was on his way. Would I ever return? Would I ever return home? When you are leaving somewhere to go, the next thing is, I'm going, when would I return? I'm sure he thought about this. Now, one of the key things that I think he was thinking about while on his way, will Esau ever be at peace with him? Now, the birthright something is not an easy thing. But would Esau really be at peace with him? I think there were some of the thoughts that were running through his mind. Will he himself ever really possess the birthright blessing? That's what you think. Now, here is the problem I have. Will I really, my father bless me, but I'm having problem with my brother, and we have crisis within the family. But based upon these situations, will God really bless me? I think we can. If you are in a tight spot, if you are in a tight situation in your life, and going through a tough thing, crisis in your home, even though you are a man of God, you can say, God, I don't know whether this work, whether I will be blessed. I'm sure he was thinking about those things as he was on his way. But then something happened. When you have a problem in thinking and don't know how to conclude or what to do, there are times God can appear to you or God can speak to you. Let's see what happened here. He has his encounter with God in a dream. He walked whole day and got to a certain area. He was so tired. I mean, so tired. He put stone together, made a pillow, and he put his hair on it and began to sleep. I mean, soundly in the bush. Now, my concern here is that we have no record whether he traveled with some people. Rob, what do you think? We don't have no record.
Well, yeah, I had a little bit I wanted to elaborate on when he woke up and named the place.
Right.
Actually, two things. One, notice that God came to Jacob instead of Jacob seeking God.
Right.
And we don't see Jacob fleeing, but we don't see him praying or any of those sort of things.
No.
Now, to elaborate further on Bethel. Your slide says that Bethel means house of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the Hebrew, it's two words that are combined together.
Together, right.
Beth meaning house. So Beth means house, and El is a name for God, like El Shaddai.
El Shaddai, right.
So when we combine them, we get house of God.
Right.
So just something to keep in mind. And during the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God was known to them as El Shaddai. We see God revealing himself in greater and greater detail as the scripture progresses. But in that time, El was a common name referred to God.
To God, right.
And referred to even some of the false gods. Now, in the case of our God, he would combine another word with his name, such as El Shaddai, which further reveals who he is and his character. So just another thing to keep in mind. and some things to observe as well, because I find it interesting that God reaches out to Jacob.
Right. Thank you. Now, thinking about all the situations and what, and then there is no record to show us from scripture whether he was traveling with a lot of people or whether he was alone, but it seems, based upon what we get from the text, that he was just traveling alone. Guy in a place, so tired, to where I'm going to sleep, thinking about his whole life, leaving his family, going to a strange place, even though he was going to the family home, but he knew no one there. He got in that place and put pieces together to rest. And while he was sleeping, and I love what you said, Rob, the text did not say he prayed and presented himself to God before he went to bed. But he got so tired and just went straight to bed, then God came to him. He did not go to God, but God came to him. That's a mean point. He sees a ladder, a stairway, reaching from earth to heaven. And God identified himself as the God of the covenant promises. God came to him and said, Jacob, you are the heir of my promises. Wow. Now, that's real confirmation. The point that I want us to look at carefully here is that here is a family that is going through major crisis. You know, sometimes when we look at the life of these patriarchs, we think that they are superhero, super spiritualists. But they were just like ordinary people like you and myself going through struggles. Like how we do today. Sometimes when we talk about them, we say, oh, well, they were special. No, they were just, the person who is special, it is God Almighty working his life through us. That's a special person, but not us. Now, God came to him and assured him, I am your God. He came to him that you are the head of the promises that I have made to my people. Wow. Now, when he woke up from the dream, he got up and I think he was just confused and excited at the same time. The first thing, he was afraid. Then he said, well, where I am, this is the house of God. This is a dreaded place. The house of God. The gate of heaven. I don't know that I am right here in the house of God and the gate of heaven. Having said that, listen carefully. Having said that, something went on. He anoints the stone that he used as a pillow, as a memorial of his encounter with God, and names the place Bethel, which means the house of God. We got a lot of Bethel churches all over the world. This is the Bethel, that house of God. Thank God. Now, he had a dramatic encounter with God, and God assured him that he is the chosen one through whom the promises of God will be accomplished. The next thing that happened, he makes a vow to God. Let's look at this vow. Let's look at this vow carefully and compare with what we do. He said, by God's providence, Jacob was in the right place. He made a vow unto God. But let's see what happened. See, Jacob, he was in the right place at the right time. Now, sometimes we don't know, but he went in. God just blessed him in a very special way, and he got that in that area. And then the one of the things that Jacob said in with all his excitement, and God speaking to him, assuring him, and he said, well, God, listen to him. He said, God, if you carry me where I am going, and you bring me back to my people, then you are my God. And what did he say? Rob, can you remember something he said over there? It's so funny.
So he's saying, you know, if you will protect me, and you will give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, and he says, if you allow me to return to my father's house in peace,
right,
then you should be my God. So it's a conditional.
It's conditional. Yeah. Then you will be my God. See? Then you will be my God. So Jacob, and this is an area where, can we say in our understanding of Christianity today, can we say this was a time that had to do with Jacob's salvation or conditionally? Because that was his first encounter with God. And then he said, well, this is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. I didn't know. But God, when you protect me, you will forever be my God. Many of us today, we are talking about protection. If we are praying, God, if you protect me, God, if you bless my life, God, if you, we always make things to be conditional. Jacob did the same thing. He did the same thing. All right. Now, he's on his way. Now, he woke up in the morning, anointed the area, and Jacob took some things. Boop. He passed on and then went. He reaches to Haran, the city of his family. He got there. He was, you know, when he got there, he got there in the right place at the right time. See, like Eliezer, we got his story, the servant of his grandfather, Abraham. Jacob met Rachel at the well. Now we know Eliezer met the mother at the well. So when he went home, he passed the same route and got to the well. And so that's where, when he got there, and I loved it when you read the story is so beautiful. When he got there, he asked some of the men from the town, when he was standing at the well, he asked for Laban. He said, do you know in your city a man by the name of Laban? And they said, oh yeah, we know him. In fact, he has his daughter coming. So then Rachel showed up. And at the well, we know that what he did, that he helped Rachel, took away the stone, and was able to water the cattle and do whatever he wanted to do. But here we see again at the well, we see that Isaac's wife, Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, went where? And met Rebecca at the well. And there's a replay of the same thing. Jacob met his wife at the well. This is something, it's very important. It seemed like Jacob and Rachel fell in love with each other at the first sight. You know, when they met each other, we don't know, maybe something triggered in their minds. But that's how the whole thing came about. Jacob met his wife at the well. But at the time, it was not a wife, it was a sister, I mean, it was the founding member, but something was somehow going on in their mind. Let's look at Jacob's wedding. Let's look at the wedding. I don't know how far we're going to end this tonight. We've got a few more minutes. But however, Jacob's wedding in Haran. The first point here is that the bride price, Jacob bargains for Rachel. There was nothing in the diary of a mohar that is mentioned anywhere. But there was a quite different thing with Rebecca and Isaac at the well. Eliezer gave gifts to Rebecca. When they got home, he gave additional gift to Rebecca and to the brother Laban, not to the father. And then the wedding was just like that. But in this case, in Jacob's case, it's a different thing. When he got in the home, Laban offered to pay Jacob. He said, well, look, I don't want to take advantage of you, but you charge me and I'm going to pay you to work for me. Jacob offered to work for him 7 years in exchange for Richard. Wow. Now, 7 years in exchange for Richard. He didn't say offer. Now, Laban agrees to the proposal. You know, first he preferred. He said, well, okay, I agree. I prefer my daughter to marry to my relatives. That would be the best thing, you know, that I want. So, hey, if you can work for me for 7 years, that would be okay. But here is an issue. There was a problem. Those days, I don't know. But let me just bring something out that I know in my own culture. There was a cultural practice that when I was coming up, I saw, even though many of it is not practiced nowadays, but when I was coming up, this was practiced. If you wanted, if you had love for a girl, if you were a boy and have love for a girl, you will leave your home and go and stay with the girl's family, sometimes for 2 years, sometimes for 5 years, working for them, doing everything for them, for that girl. And at a certain time, your parents will still have to go and pay the dowry before you bring the girl home. Now, I saw that. It was not anything I saw, but I saw that when I was coming up, I saw it. All right? Nowadays, things have changed. But similar thing happened in my own culture. Here was one of the caveats. There was one thing you could not do. If you went as a young man to work and stay with the girl's family so that you will pay the way for the dowry to be paid by your parents for 2 years, for 3 years, whatever time you stay in that home, you will not have no sexual activity with that girl. You will not. But the moment the appointed time comes and your family comes with some money, clothing, and different things, and come and pay the girl dowry to the parents, the parent will take the girl and bring her to your town. And when she gets to your town, that will be a great celebration. That's the time you will have something to do in terms of sexual activities with that identical girl. But you can't do it while you were serving them. We see the same thing here in the life of Jacob. The 7 years Jacob worked for Laban, he had nothing to do with Richard. And sometimes people think that the reason why I explain a little bit about my culture, even though things are changing gradually, because this is really happening even in my own culture. I saw it. So it's the same thing, a similar thing that happened in my culture. All right. Jacob requested for Laban to give him his wife. After he served for 7 years, what did he do? He said, now I need my wife so that I need my wife now. It's time. The time has come. But the problem that Jacob had, he was alone. He got no, his parents were not with him. He was just alone. So that was his problem. So, I love this part here. It's funny. All right. So when Jacob asked Laban, I need my wife so that I will go into her. That's how he put it. I want to get my wife now that she and myself will have some affairs. That Laban invited all the people. This is a different kind of wedding. All right. They've been away for 7 years. And then, you know, as a dowry or just something to do. It kind of, I see that. I've seen it before, even in my own culture. All right. But there came a time there was a great party. Laban called everybody. Now, I just want to read the text because I love it. Genesis 29, 22 to 24. He said, but when the evening came, he took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob, and Jacob lay with her. And Laban gave his servant girl Zilpah to his daughter as her maidservant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? I served you for richer. Then I, what have you deceived me? Now the point here, is a deceiver who is accusing somebody of being deceived. Because the life he lived is the one that following him. The sad thing here is in this whole thing, now this is the response of Laban. It is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. We can't do it. But if you want richer still, then of course, this is what I want to do. Finish her bridal week. That means they have 7 days for honeymoon. You had to do the 7-day honeymoon with Leah. And after that, then we will give you the other girl, the one you love too. Now, the thing that I want us to discuss, Robin, I don't know our time, but I want us to talk about it a little bit. Okay. Rob, what do you think is happening here? I know you didn't make a, what do you think is happening? Do you think that something was responsible for which Jacob could not recognize Leah in the bed?
Oh, well, yeah, we know that, we know in the customs there was drinking and intoxication typically, and some of the marriages during the time, these lasted for days of the festivities with lots of drinking happening. So he was probably intoxicated and didn't realize it. Now, I want to point out a couple of things. I think it's important that we contrast the two encounters, the encounter of what happened with Isaac and his wife, Rebecca, and how that transpired versus how this transpired with Jacob.
Right.
There are some stark differences, and I think we need to reflect on the similarities and the differences.
Right.
You point out that, you know, they both met at the well. And I'm sure Jacob knew the story of how Isaac got his wife and Rebecca's beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. He sees her at the well. Genesis 29:17-18 says Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful.
Right.
And the word there for beautiful means gorgeous.
Gorgeous,
you know,
right.
Yeah, just incredible and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel. And as you said, probably loved her at first sight. And said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Now, was this love or lust at first sight? We don't know.
Okay.
What Scripture doesn't tell us as well is, did Jacob pray for a wife? Did he seek God first?
We don't know.
We don't see that here either.
It's not there.
So there's another difference. So that raises, in my mind, that raises a flag. And was this the divine favor? You know, we know God kept and fulfilled his promise. But was this the ideal wife, the wife that was set aside for him? We don't know. Now, here's another thought. How many people today would be willing to work 14 years for their wife as an indentured servant?
You said, two days. Not 14, but 2 days.
Yeah.
Nobody want to do that.
Yeah. And now, when we also see the cultural influence, you know, Laban switching his daughters that the oldest must be married first. But also we see that multiple wives was permitted.
Right.
And this didn't seem to bother him either. So we see a lot of cultural influences here. Yet what we don't see is the cultural influence of an arranged marriage.
Right.
So we see man sort of moving away from what some of what the traditions were, and in his walk, in a sense, from how it was, how his father was, and his father before that. So though he went to the same people, his process wasn't the same.
Right. But this is the point: to the same people, but they got different processes. That's a good point you made. That's the same home, the same people, but different way approach to the wedding. So here we have Laban say, look, if you after 1 week, then we are going to you're gonna serve me for another 7 years, and then I will give you the wife. I will give you Rachel. So he accepted to work for another 7 years. Now, here is the problem here. And I love what the dictionary says here, and I just want to point that out. Okay. First thing, when we talk about who was giving to Jacob was the first daughter, Leah. Now, the meaning of the word Leah, it means cow. But what does that mean? What does that imply? Many people take this out of context and say, oh, well, she was, because she was so ugly or something. They put described in different ways. But the point that this dictionary really raised here, which I know, it was talking about the attributes. It was not because it does not reflect the appearance of a cow that you see it, but it was the attributes of a cow. Even goddesses in the ancient Near Eastern world might be associated with an animal's positive qualities. For example, the Egyptian goddess Hathor was frequently depicted as a cow due to her gentleness. The only negative comment about Leah's appearance concerning her eyes. So it does not mean that she was kind of very ugly indeed or has some different attitude. In fact, when you look at the name of Rachel and the meaning, then of course you would think that even though Rachel was beautiful, but what the name implies could not represent beauty in a sense. Okay. So let's see what is being done here. Okay. Now, what we want to point out tonight is this. Rachel, it is not clear from the text whether Laban invited the people again for another wedding. If this is the case, we have no record. But here, what is found here? One wedding, two wives. Let's go back there. One wedding, two wives. If there was any record anywhere that you find, let me know. But from what I get from the text, Laban said, just spend time with your first wife, Leah, this week, according to the culture. Have good time with her. And after that, I am going to give you Rachel, but you will have to agree to work 7 more years for her. So, let me just read something. Now, look at Genesis 29. Let's start from 28. And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah. Listen. And then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. 29. Laban gave his servant girl Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maidservant. Verse 30 says, Jacob lay with Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. Now, what this is saying, it is not saying that Jacob had to work for another 7 years before before Rachel was given to him. That's not what the text is saying. But that one wedding for which he was deceived and the culture demanded, he was victimized by the demand of the culture that the first daughter had to marry before the second. So after the honeymoon, Laban gave Rachel to him. There is no indication of another wedding or another celebration in the text. You can't find it there. So what we see in the text here is what? One wedding, two wives. That's what we find in there. So that's what we find in there. So what do? He gave and then what did he do? He remained right in the house, within the family with the two wives, and worked for another 7 years. In fact, and then after the 7 years, he had to work for another 6 more years. The point we're trying to make here is that that was only one wedding. And then if you have a record, and I love what the handbook of a handbook on Genesis written by Ray Bryan and Frey and others. I love the way they put it. All right, let me just read that. And it's on Genesis 20, their commentary on Genesis 28:29. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to wife. Unlike the case of the first wife, Laban now gave Rachel to Jacob, apparently in advance of his 7 year service. Note carefully. The narrator says nothing regarding a second marriage feast. We may assume, perhaps, that this was really a double wedding that was performed. One wedding. Note that in Leviticus 18:18 forbids a man to marry the sisters. Well, you know, that this one came in later on. See, so the point here is that you have one wedding and you got two wives, one celebration. So there was no record for, and I love what this dictionary said, and myself, I try to see whether I will find something, but you can find nothing in scripture that would indicate another celebration. But that one wedding was used, and Leah got in the home as the first wife. Then, upon promise, the sister was giving after the honeymoon, and yeah, Isaac got in there, began to serve for another 7 years. Okay, now what we do tonight, we need to stop here. Okay, we need to stop it because the time is completed. So we need to stop it. But here, what I want us to think about. If you have a question tonight, let me just unmute everybody. Our time is far spent, but we just love this teaching. Let me just unmute everybody. Unmute. Okay, if you are there now, you are. Now, if you have a question or you have a comment tonight, you're welcome. This is the time for you. We give you a few minutes to do that, and thank you.
I just, first of all, want to appreciate the Lord for your wisdom again, Dr. Liberty, concerning the teaching section tonight. And I just feel like God blessing upon Jacob, you know, is a blessing without border.
Yeah.
Even though in Genesis chapter 32, God has to cripple him to crown him after he returned to the place of blessing.
Right.
Which is ahead, and I don't want to go ahead because
that's
know
right.
you know that. But it's all part of God's plan, because it is from those children that he bore, or he had with Rachel and Leah, are the 12 tribes of Israel today.
Right.
So I just believe that God is so compassionate. He has compassion on whomsoever he wants to have compassion on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a God of mercy. And he does what he wants to do. So I'm so happy. But my question is that, what happens if a layman say, if the whole patriarch Jacob can do this, can I do it today to get two sisters? What should be our advice to do kind of thing?
This is how I want, we've been teaching, and I just want to summarize that part of the teaching.
Right.
We said, God Almighty created everything and placed Adam and gave Adam a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they were living holy before God.
Yeah.
And God told them to procreate.
Yes.
What we believe is that God knew exactly how to work with them in their state of holiness for procreation.
Mm.
Draw that line. Draw that line. Then man fell. And when man took upon themselves to do what they want to do, besides that, everything that men were doing now, men were doing that in sin.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the line that you, once the fall came about,
right?
This is why we had redemption.
Okay.
Everything that you see Jacob is doing, it is the grace of God you find in the whole human race, moving
right
from one place to another, but not holiness.
Right.
If anybody thinks it's holiness, say I'm moving away.
Okay.
It's not holiness, it is God's grace.
Got it.
That's all. Look at the entire family. Isaac love his firstborn. Mommy
right.
love Jacob.
Right.
And then Esau said, I'm gonna kill my brother. And so there was a real fight in the entire crisis. So the woman came about, so let me get the boy away from here.
Or conflict.
Conflict. He got him out of the conflict and he came. And he was just, he didn't even know what was going to happen to him. That's
right.
When God appeared to him and said, well, even though you don't know what's going to happen to you, you don't even know where you're going, you don't even know what will become of your life, but I have chosen you.
Not Amen.
Because you are righteous, but Amen. Because I want to use you to reach, Amen. To redeem mankind.
Amen.
And I love that part of it's a beauty of the grace of God.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Is the beauty of Rob, do you have anything to add?
Before Dr. Rob, I just also want to appreciate Dr. Rob for his input and listening to that. And he had good insight, you know, yeah. as he buttressed you know, on this wedding or the cultural marriage in the Old Testament as it relates to Jacob's wedding. So thank you, Dr. Rob.
You're welcome. Yeah, I find it fascinating, especially once we start contrasting these two. And just seeing the differences, the nuances between them,
yeah.
And then looking at cultural, it's definitely changed my perspective about things. So yeah, it's important to look at the details and see. And as we have what happened with Adam, and then we see Abraham, we see Isaac, now we see Jacob. yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah,
and we can learn a lot from it. I mean, we don't have all the details, but there's still a lot to be learned.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, Rob. We don't have the details, but there's still a lot to be learned. Okay, there we go. Thank you, everybody. No question. Thank you. And we will continue to, Jacob's wedding. Oh, one wedding, two wives, but little, four wives. So we're getting there. Two now, but little, four wives.
Yeah.
So then we will get there. All right. Dr. Waller, will you please lead us in prayer?
Sure. Most gracious and everlasting Father, we want to thank you tonight for the revelation of Jesus Christ. I give you the glory and honor. It's so fascinating, Father God, to listen to your word. Not only that, but also thank you for Dr. Liberty, for giving him the wisdom to continue with this teaching. I want to thank you, Lord, for Dr. Rob, just be with him and guide him. Thank you for his support as it relates to sharing your word. We give you the glory and honor as we leave. We are not leaving from your presence. We ever before you. Give us grace this week again, Lord, that we will be able to listen to your word through your messenger, that the liberty. We give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.